this fourth day account of creation gives us some insight on two different lights that God designated to be effectual on this earth. There are lots of lights in the sky, like how he says up in verse number 14, in verse number 16, when he's talking about these lights, he says, oh yeah, and he made the stars also. We already got into that a little bit, but I just want to say, I love how it's a side note. Of course God made the stars. It wasn't a big deal. But you say, why are the stars not as big a deal? Because they do not have an impact on the earth the way that the sun does and the moon does. Those two lights that are there in the firmament of heaven, that which is above us, give us light during different times and different seasons. Notice he said that the lights would be used for times and for seasons and for days and for years. And even now today, we're using that, the different phases of the moon we use to tell what's going to happen with the weather and things like that, what time of year it is. Different times, different things happen. We have something called a harvest moon that comes up in the fall, and we see that things are starting to change. The direction of everything is starting to go in a different direction, and God reveals that to us through those lights. Not only that, but if you know anybody that is a sailor, and I doubt that any of us really know anybody that is a sailor, but even now today, you can use the stars and the constellations to guide you when you're out in that sea where you have no bearing of direction. And those lights have a lot of different purposes, but I want to hone in on these two lights that we see in Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 14 tonight. And I want to talk about this for just a few minutes, the two lights. First of all, I want you to see the greater light. Now look what your Bible says in verse number 16. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day. The greater light was there to rule the day. Now I believe that God, in this account of creation, is painting us a picture of some other things that were to come. Now, if you take your Bibles with me, go with me to John chapter number 8 and verse number 12. John chapter number 8 and verse number 12. I don't have it marked either, so I'll have to go there with you. John chapter number 8 and verse number 12. And let me show you something in the words of Jesus. John 8 and verse number 12, here's what your Bible says. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, he's talking to his disciples now, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now kick over to John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1 and verse number 5. John chapter 1 and verse number 5. Listen to what your Bible says. And the light, back up to verse number 4. In him was life. We're talking about Jesus. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now take your Bibles one more time with me. I know we're jumping around tonight. I like to hear the pages of the Bible turn. Revelation chapter number 21. Revelation chapter number 21. In Revelation chapter number 21, God begins to reveal through the eyes of John what it was going to be like after the rapture, after the tribulation, after the millennial reign, after the destruction of the earth and the elements and all of those things, when God was going to provide for us a new home, a new place, a place called New Jerusalem. Look in John 20 or Revelation 21 and verse number 2. We'll start there. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now jump over to verse number 23. And the city, we're talking about New Jerusalem, had no need of the sun, the S-U-N, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb, we know who that is, don't we? That's Jesus, is the light thereof. There is a greater light that lights this world. And in the natural realm of things, we look up in the sky during the daytime and we see the greater light. That is the S-U-N. But I'm here to tell you tonight, there is another great light. And that is the S-O-N. And just like the sun reveals and sheds light on this world and sends its power into this world, the S-O-N does the same thing. He exudes light, and in him is the light, and it shines into this dark world and creates a space where we can have a time that is not of darkness. He has shown his light as the S-O-N into this world, even more powerful than the S-U-N. Are y'all with me tonight? Say amen. Now that's the greater light. Then I want you to see the lesser light. Look back in, we're back in Genesis 1, verse number 16. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. Now take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. We're in the Sermon on the Mount now. Jesus is speaking. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 14. He's speaking to his disciples and to the people who he was teaching. Listen to what he said. Ye are the light of the world. Now, wait a minute. He just said, just a few minutes ago, we saw that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now he's saying, you are the light of the world. If he's the light, how can we be the light? If he is the light of this world, then how can we be the light of this world? Hear me out right here. I believe that is by the same measure, the same way that the moon gives light to the world. You see, what you find out if you look into this just a little bit, and what we all know is that the moon does not give light of itself. The moon does not possess anything within it that has the ability to give light. There's nothing on the moon that can create or give light to the earth. Yet, if you walk outside right now, if the sky is clear enough, then you will see that what little bit of light we have is coming from that surface of that moon. So how is that happening? Because the moon is reflecting the light from the S-U-N. And I would submit to you tonight that as a Christian, as a child of God, a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not possess within your own self the ability to exude the light that is necessary to be able to light this dark, dark world that we are living in. But if we are willing to reflect the light of the S-O-N, we can shine a light into this world that is not of ourselves. It is of Him. We don't have any light in ourselves, but we light this world by reflecting His light. I'm running through this thing quick, so y'all just stay with me now. Just like the moon reflects the light of the S-U-N, the Christian is designed to reflect the light of the S-O-N. Did you know that there are things about the moon which give it the ability to reflect that light? Listen, the earth doesn't do that. The other planets don't do that. Not in the same way that the moon does. The moon, something about its surface has given it the ability. Though if you look at the surface of the moon, it looks like a bunch of craters and a bunch of stars and a bunch of bad spots. And it looks like it doesn't have a whole lot of value to it. But God has placed in that a surface something that has a refractory power that gives it the ability to reflect the light of the S-U-N into this world. And Christian, hear me out right here. You may look at your life and look at yourself and say, man, I've messed everything up. I've just got, all I see when I look at myself is craters and scars scars and hard times and bad things and shortcomings and shortfallings, but I'm telling you right now, God has created you with something in you that gives you the ability to reflect the light that He has shined into your life out into this world. Amen. We have the power to reflect the light of the S-O-N. We talked about the greater light and the lesser light. But now I want you to see the division of the lights. Look at what your Bible says. Verse number 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day and the night. When the S-U-N is shining on this world, it's day. You know what the difference is between the day and the night? You can see better. The day provides for us a much more productive time. Even in our age where we have the ability to light a room and work through the night, the truth of the matter is the mass amount of production that happens in this world happens during the day. The overwhelming vast majority of work that gets done in the day, because you can buy all the light bulbs you want, but you cannot recreate what the sun, the S-U-N, does for you. You can't recreate all what you get from that. It is so powerful that it even overcomes our ability to try to not have to work around it. The reality is when the sun is shining, everything is clear. Everything is out in the open. There is nothing hidden in the day by darkness. There is nothing that cannot be seen that needs to be seen. And can I say this? When Jesus was on this earth for 33 and a half years, God was revealed in the flesh, in the S-O-N, and everything was laid bare. Everything was revealed. There was nothing hidden that was not seen. He even revealed the unrighteousness of the ones who thought they were more righteous than everybody else and had the whole world convinced that they had it figured out. He laid it all bare. He told the 100% truth, and He showed them what was really going on. He revealed Himself in that light. And just like the sun, the S-U-N, rises in the morning and repeats that cycle every day, when He returns to this earth, are y'all listening to me now? When the S-O-N returns into this world that we're living in, the clarity of the power of the sun will be restored in the way that it was when He was here for 33 years the first time. Listen to me. His light is no less powerful right now than it is than it was 2,000 years ago. The sun, it's gone down right now and we can't see it, but it's still shining. And tomorrow morning sometime, it's going to roll around again. And it's going to be just as powerful tomorrow as it was today, and just as powerful the next day as it is tomorrow. And when Jesus comes back into this world, He's going to be just as powerful as He was the first time. Amen. But right now, church, right now, the night is upon us. Right now, we're living in a period of darkness in between the sunrises. See, there's been two sunrises, spiritually speaking, so far. One of them happened in Bethlehem. And by the way, that happened at night too. And God shone the light round about him. Probably wasn't hard to do, seeing as how the light was already there. I won't be careful right here. But it seems to me like Jesus was shining light and God was shining light, and them two come together right there. That was the first sunrise. Then they killed him. They took his earthly life on a hill called Calvary, and they buried him in a tomb, and the darkness came back. The Bible says that as Jesus was dying on that cross, that there was darkness for a span of 3 hours. On the earth, it was completely dark.
The lights went out. 3 days later, when the S-U-N began to rise, the S-O-N began to rise. And the lights came back on. 40 days, he walked this. That's an amazing. You want to study something out, you ought to study the time period that Jesus spent after his resurrection on this earth. Amazing things happened during that time period. Jesus had the ability during that time period to go back and forth between heaven and earth. Jesus had the ability during that time period to walk through a door without opening the door. That's right. I ain't never seen nobody do that. Jesus had the ability during that time period to be both spirit and flesh. Somehow. In a transfigured state. The Bible tells us this. This is when I first started studying the Bible, I saw this, and it took me a long time to get over it because it shocked me. I never heard nobody preach this in my whole life. I never heard nobody talk about this. Even to this day, I don't know that I've ever heard anybody preach a sermon on it, including myself. But the Bible says when Jesus resurrected, that a whole bunch of other dead people got up out of the grave too.
That's right. Yeah.
And walked around, and people saw. His resurrection was so powerful. It's almost like some other people got resurrected kind of just in the wake of it. Like when you jump in a pool and the wave comes up and you splash somebody sitting on the side. The overflow of that resurrection was so powerful, man. The Bible says that there was hundreds of them come up out of the grave and walk around. People saw. That's shocking. Then on that 40th day, he walked down on the hillside, told his disciples, he said, boys, coming back, they got to go. The Bible says he ascended up into heaven, and there was two angels standing by, some kind of beings, and his disciples were looking, watching him climb up into heaven. And these angelic beings said to him this, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus shall so come in like manner.
Amen.
Here's what they said, the sun's going to rise again.
Amen.
But between then and then, we're living in the night. The only light that this world has is that which is reflected by the lesser light. How do we see at night? By the light reflected off the moon. How can this world possibly see the truth? Only if God's people are willing to reflect the light of Christ in this world. How can this world possibly have light? Now, let me say this tonight. This world that we live in is only going to have as much light as we are willing to give it.
That's good.
The world that we're living in is only going to get the light that we reflect. See, here's what we like to think. My life really don't matter in the grand scheme of things. We like to think that spiritually speaking, it really don't make no difference what we do. We don't have an impact on anybody. We don't matter to anybody. We don't matter for anything. But I'm telling you right now, there are people that are walking around in the darkness right now. The Bible says about them, they're like a man beating at the air. They can't see nothing. They can't do nothing. They don't know where to go or what to do. They're fumbling around in the darkness of this world. And all they need is somebody to come by and be that lesser light in their life and reflect the light of the S-O-N so they can see clearly what they need to do.
Amen.
I got to thinking about this when I was studying on this. Wasn't that long ago we had a solar eclipse. But the solar eclipse basically happens when the lesser light gets in between the greater light and the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
We got to be real careful that we don't dim his light by what we do.
Right.
The moon ain't supposed to get between the sun and the earth. Do you understand me? That's why it only happens every so often, every 100-some years or whatever. But that ain't what it's designed to do. That is not its job. But there are times when the moon creates a void between the sun and the world and causes the light to go out in this world. And I want to say this tonight. I've seen some Christian people, some lesser lights who have taken their life and blocked out the sun and blocked out the light that was given to them as opposed to reflecting that light into the world. They have stood between this world and the light that's been shown into their lives, and it's such a shame because all that light is being wasted on them rather than being reflected as it's designed to be.
Right.
When we have a solar eclipse, the sun doesn't go out. It just gets blocked out. I've seen some churches that's like a solar eclipse.
Amen.
I've seen some Christians that's like a solar eclipse. They're supposed to be reflecting Jesus and they're really just standing in between somebody and Him. I see this a lot in everybody okay? I'm preaching now. I'm just in it. I've seen this a lot in marriages. This happens a lot. I'll tell you exactly how it happens. One of the spouses shows up around here, gets saved, gets right with God, or either maybe they've been saved for years and they get right with God, and they start saying to me stuff like this: I want you to pray for my husband. I want you to pray for my wife. They're lost. I want them to get in church, get right with God. Are y'all listening to me? Say amen.
Amen.
So we pray and we shine the light into their life, and once they start to see things clearly, all of a sudden something changes and they get saved. And then next thing you know, they start serving God. And they start tithing. And they start giving. And they start coming to church on Sunday night and Wednesday night. And every night a revival meeting. And they start going here and there. And they start working around the church. And they start investing their time and their treasure into the things of God. And maybe a lot of times when a husband, maybe he gets called to preach. And he starts doing something for God. And then all of a sudden, the spouse ain't happy no more. And they would never say this, but this is what they're thinking. I wanted them saved, but I don't think I wanted them this saved. I wanted them saved, but I wasn't expecting all this. I wanted them to go to heaven, but I didn't really want them to go to church every time the doors was open. I'm telling you, I've seen it over and over and over again. And all of a sudden there's a divide. And the result many times of that divide is that spouse positions himself in between the light that's supposed to be reflected off of them and the one that they're supposed to be reflecting the light to. And all that other spouse sees of a Christian is something that is not what it's supposed to be, and something that is not reflecting the light of Christ into their life, and it sours them on what a Christian is supposed to be.
Solar eclipses are neat and they're cool and all that stuff. And we talked about it the other week. I remember the one we had recently and it was neat and all that. But understand something. If the sun was blocked out in that way for an extended period of time, bad things would start happening. This world doesn't operate without the sun. And can I tell you this? There's times in your life, and when we get down to the seventh day, we talk about the Sabbath and sabbatical living, and there's times in your life when you can't be the only one reflect the light as powerfully sometimes as you can other times, and there's times when you get sideways with God and get out of your orbit and all that stuff, and I understand that, but you better be careful, because if you stay in that position too long, then the portion of the world that you're supposed to be shining light on is going to eventually start falling apart and not being like it's supposed to be, because they're not going to be able to operate in the light.
Yep. Then I thought about, y'all lying? Yep. I thought about that solar eclipse. Then I got to thinking about that lunar eclipse. Y'all ever seen that?
Yep.
You know what causes a lunar eclipse? Hey, are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
A
lunar eclipse happens when the world gets between the greater light and the lesser light. The lunar eclipse is caused when the world blocks out the S-U-N from the moon. Christian, hear me out right here. You got to be careful not to let the world get between you and the S-O-N. Because if the world gets positioned between you and the greater light, then you're not going to have any light to reflect. The reason why a lot of Christians are not doing the job they were designed to do is because they have positioned the world in between them and God. And when the world's between them and God, the light can't get to them. Y'all hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
When the world gets between you and Him, His light can't reach you. I'm telling you, I've seen it all of my ministry. I've seen Christians that were serving God. I'm talking about on the battlefield doing something for the Lord. And something in this world got just a little bit too good to them. Might have been money. Might have been popularity. Might have been a relationship with somebody they shouldn't have had a relationship with. Might have been friendships. It might have been school. It might have been entertainment. It might have been, can I tell you something? I like going on vacation, but listen to me now. If you're at the beach every weekend, you're going to have a problem serving God. I said, you know what? I get scared every time. This is going to sound crazy, but hear me out right here. I get scared every time a good church member buys something like a camper. Don't shoot me. Because they better be careful. They better be careful not to let it get too good to them. Because if they're not careful, they'll get that world. They'll get the world position between them and the greater light.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, their light will go out. You know what happens when the moon's light goes out? You can't even see it. Not only can you not see it, you can't see nothing else. He said He made the lesser light to rule the night. If we're living in the night, it's our job to do our job. But we got to keep the world out from in between us and God. Hey, there's times, man. There's times when things come up that you can't help. You ever looked up and seen that crescent moon? You know what that is? It ain't all the way in the light. It's got some things in its way, but it's still doing its job. Hey, Christian, I know some of you are living that. Man, Whether it's family situations or the stresses of life or whatever it is that you're having to deal with, sometimes, man, things just get in the way. But I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to look around and make sure you still got some light reflecting off of you.
Amen.
You better look around and make sure that you still got some room in your life for Him. Because if you ain't careful, you'll look up one day and you'll be completely dark. And darkness leads to destruction. Darkness. There is no place in your Bible where the word darkness has a positive context. Not ever. Darkness is dangerous. My parents used to tell me nothing good happens after midnight. You know why? Because darkness brings danger. The thieves come out at night. The swindlers come out at night. The dangerous things happen at night.
closing, but I'm going to say this. One of my favorite moments, pictures in my head, from all the time that I've spent hunting and in the woods, I love this moment right here on a big full moon. I mean, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning before daylight. Walking into the woods, and you step out into a field, and that moonlight is so strong, and it almost feels like it's daytime. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing. Church, that's what we're supposed to do for our community. That's what we're supposed to do for the families that are affected and impacted by this church. We're supposed to shine a light so bright that they can feel the power of it shining on them. We're supposed to flood this world with the light of the S-O-N. Here's what I want to ask you tonight. Hunter's coming to the piano. Here's what I want to ask you tonight. How's your light? How's your light? Are you doing your job? Or is your light getting dim? We're standing together all over the place. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.